So today's daf is Yud Aleph, and we begin from Halacha Vav, the next Mishnah. Ezo Tam Vezo Mord. When do we have this transition from Keren to in Keren from a Tam to Mord? Because if we said a Keren, you pay Chatzin Ezek, and once it's been a habitual damager doing these crazy acts like goring and things like that, that's when you have to pay start paying Nezek Shalem. Yeah, so the question, what's the transition? So Muad Sheidu Bo Shlosha Yamim. However, Tam Shechsiru Bo Shlosha Yamim. So that's the opinion of Destiny of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if this ox gores and it's been and the Baalim have been warned, say 3 days in a row, okay, then we say 3 days in a row, we've got a pattern here. This animal's now a Shor Mored. Okay, well, in a row we'll discuss in a minute. But how do we break out of this? This is if we've witnessed 3 days in a row. It sounds like this animal going and behaving civilly, if you like, in the public domain 3 days in a row, then that would also be, so 3 consecutive days, then we say that that would be okay. That's when it would switch from it's being like rehabilitated back to being a tam. Okay, Rabbi Meir says, no, it can even be in the same day, meaning it calls and they warn the owner and say, like, look after your animal, and it did it again, even if it's in the same day, that would be enough to make it a muad. So you can appreciate the debate here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, even just Misvara, in terms of is it better if it's closer together or actually drawn out, might be even better indication. Because it might just be having, if you like, a bad day or something like that. Okay. However, Tam, when does it go back? That's Petshatinok Mashmashimbo. You can imagine if a little kid starts poking it between the eyes and this ox is quite, placid. That's when it's gone back to being a tam. That's a debate in terms of when we go back. Let's have a look. So Ezu Tam Vezu Mord. Ma Tam to Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yudin. What's the basis should Rabbi Yehuda that it needs to be 3 days in a way? Because it says, Im Shorsha Nagahu, I'm reading the whole full passage, Mitmol Shilshon, Vuad Bin Vala, Velo Ishmeru, Vamit Ish or Isha or Shoy Sakya, Vagam Bala, Vumat. Here the passage is talking about a muad. If it already gone, Mitmol Shilshon, that's day bef yesterday and the day before yesterday, so that's 3 days in a row, then we've got now a muad. Okay, so the question is, Ma mekayem Rabbi Meir mitmol shilshom? What does Rabbi Meir say? He says, Ne patra behafleg, ne zvatvichot she im yatsa be yom rishon v'nagach, b'sheni v'lo nagach, b'shlishi nagach. And in other words, I'll just explain what I've read so far, that what Rabbi Meir says, it has to be that they are, like, the way I kind of explained Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, but really this is Rabbi Meir, that it should be 3 days in a row. Meaning if it went out one day and gored, the next day it went out and nothing happened, no incident. Then the next day it went out and gored, and then according to Rabbi Moshe, it went out the next, even if it went out the next day and gored, so you've got 3 days, but there's been a break in between, then we say that wouldn't create this animal as being moored yet. That's opinion of, importantly, Rabbi Meir, that he can't have this havelaga, he can't have this break. Okay, even Rabbi Meir says you can become a muad if you like 3 instances on the same day. If it's split out day after day, it has to be 3 days in a row. That's shit, Rabbi Meir. That's how he understands mitmol shilshon. Okay, now what about the next case? Yatzar b'yom rishon v'nagach shvarim. He went out first day and got into a fight with oxen. B'sheni on the second day, and then got a fight with dogs v'nagach klavim. Chazirim, and then the next day went out and got into a fight and sort of gored some chazirim, some pigs. Because now we've got a situation where it's completely different animals. Yes, it's been 3 days in a row. Does this create this animal to be now a muad, a dangerous animal, or not? Or it just happens to be one day was this animal, one day was another, and it's not really, and still, it might be still considered a tam. Because it's not necessarily, you haven't converted that it's a danger to oxen or danger to dogs or things like that. Or once it's done, once he's gored any animal, we don't care. It makes it a muad, and that seems to be here left as a question. Fair. Next. Yatzeh b'yom rishon v'nagach, b'sheni lo yatzeh, b'shlishi yatzeh v'nagach. Now, this is a really interesting one. We're not saying, in other words, it went out the first day, it gored. Second day, it was, it was grounded. It didn't go out. And the third day, it went out and gored. Now, this is different to the case that Rabbi Meir required, that that was 3 days in a row, because in the second day before, it went out and it was placid, it didn't do anything wrong. Now we're saying that it didn't go out. The question is, I'll show you the Marafolda. He says, Efshar Iliotza, it's possible that this ox is really a moed. And had it gone out on day number two, it would have gone. So what do we say now? Because you got day one, day three, day two, there was an opportunity. Do we still say it can become mu'ad or not? That's the question now. Mahu. So the Gemara says, Yeva, maybe it can be like Ketaf Lukta, the Rav Ada Bar Achva, the Rav Huna. We see a machloket. The Palgun, they seem to have machloket. Nida Shabadka Atzma Biyom Rishon Matzatmeh, Besheni Lo Batka, Beshish Vatmeh, Batka Matzatameh. So he would not, even though it says Nida, we're not actually talking about Nida. Just to sort of do a bit of chazar on this point, there's a difference between a Nida and a Zava, depending on the time the woman sees dumb. If it's during a regular time, so the like 7 days, then she sees dumb once, if in a drop, she's, if you like, she's tameh for 7 days. Even and whether she finishes bleeding or not, as long as she finishes bleeding by the end of the 7 days, she's tameh going to mikvah. In the 11-day period after those 7 days, if she sees dumb, then she's what's called a zava ktana. She's what's called a shomei yom keneged yom. She's tahor. Then, as long as she's clean, the next day she goes to mikvah. If, however, she sees 3 days in a row, she's zava gdola. Now she has to keep the shiva nikiyim. She has to, in order, make sure that there's seven, if you like, clean days before she can go to mikvah. That is the difference between a zava and a nida d'oraita. Okay. Nowadays we're machmir like both. Don't confuse it with halacha. The question is, what if she sees dumb on day? You know, this is day 10, for example, and she didn't check herself on day 11, and then she sees dhamma on day 12. Do we treat that now? Because she didn't check herself, maybe she did see, maybe she would have been seen dhamma on the day 11, but does she now have a gedola or not? That's the question, because she could have seen that would have made it 3 days in a row and have a gedola. She have to bring a korban, as we said. She have to bring a shivanikim or not. So Rav Ada Bar Achva says b'shem Rav. Importantly, it says nida. She's a nida vada. We assume that she would have seen it. Okay, she's already. It's not really chazaka, but she saw the day before Seder. After she didn't check. So if she didn't check, we have to be. We have to not be concerned. We assume she's a nida vada. Okay. I'll just show you the Amar Fulda. Zava ki ilu ra'ata gimel yamim. It's as if she saw 3 days in a row. Hu il ra'ata b'yom rishon u'gam shlishi. So day one and day three. Amrinam b'vaday ra'ata. We say for sure she saw on day number two. She'll, because unless she checked, it's almost guilty unless proven innocent type of thing. However, Rav Huna says b'shem Rav. No. Now, importantly, they're both saying the b'shem Rav. Rav Ada Bar Achva says b'shem Rav, and Rav Huna says b'shem Rav. So that's going to cause a problem in a minute. They're both saying b'shem Rav. Who's right? Who's wrong? What happened? But we'll see in a minute. He says, no, nida safek. Now, it's not exactly nida. We say she's really, it's a zava mi safek. We're not sure if it's a zava gdol or not. Now, the Gemara says, now, Am Rav Huna tamana vina. I was there. Rav Huna is saying, I was there barosha v'tamana ita be seifa v'tamana be metziata. I was there for all three incidents, if you like, the beginning, the end, and the middle, when Rav was discussing this sugya. He started the Rav. They asked Rav, v'amar safek. Initially, he said it was a safek. He started the Rav. They asked him, they ask him again, Va'amar Vadai, actually she's Tmeya. The Chazar, and in the end, he switches mind again, it's actually no, it's Suffolk. So Rav changes his opinion along the way. Initially, he says it's Suffolk, then he said Vadai, and then he said Suffolk. Rav Ada Bar Achva, Lo Have Taman Ella Kadman Vadai. The reason why, in other words, Rav Huna is saying, the reason why Rav Ada Bar Achva disagrees with me, because he was only there at incident number two, where at that time Rav was saying Vadai. But I was there from beginning to end. I saw all incidents. That's why I'm saying that I'm telling you what Rav said as a conclusion. That's why we have the subject of debate, really. That's how, sorry, Rav Huna explains the subject of debate between and Rav Ada Bar Achva. But in any event, what we see here is that we're trying to apply the same debate with this Muad. Whether, in other words, it went out first day, whether it's animals or Muad. Went out and gored, second day did nothing, third day it went out and gored. So the Gemara's assumption is it's the same thing. It would be the same debate. Rav Ada Bar Achva said, well, we have to assume this is an animal muad, muad vaday. Whereas Rav Chisda says it's like a muad misafek. Okay, so how would you deal with a muad misafek? I'm not sure. But luckily somewhere between a tam and a muad, sounds like. Now the Gemara says, okay, so let's just go back to our Mishnah first. We had a debate in our mission between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rav Yehuda says you become a muad if it's 3 days, okay, on three separate days, okay. And how do you rehabilitate this shor if it was three, if you like, days where it's bathed itself? However, Rabbi Meir says no, it doesn't have to be 3 days. It can have been on 1 day, three incidents. Importantly, remember, it says if it's spread out over many days, well, there can't be a break in between. That was right there. How do you rehabilitate this shore? Or when it is it rehabilitated? I know that didn't need, but how does it rehabilitate it? That's only when it, for example, a kid would start poking it in between the eyes or whatever it is, start playing with this animal, which would normally drive a crazy ox go mad. And this ox seems to be quite happy and calm. Okay, so Rabbi says, "B'shem Rav Halacha Rabbi Meir Batama." We Rabbi Rabbi says, "Name of Rav." We seem to have a psak, a bit like both. We hold like Rav becomes a tama only if it becomes, you know, a tinok is playing with it, and nothing happens. And when does it come a muad? According to, he says it's like Rabbi Yehuda Bahada'a. I mean, it has to be specifically 3 days in a row, not three incidents on a particular day. So it's like a bit of both. It becomes a muad like your Rabbi Yehuda and goes back to be a tam like Rabbi Meir. The Tani, as it says, now we can continue with the Girsa of Marafolda here. This is the Tani, Shosh Nagach Shlosh Pe'amim Beyom Echad. Well, ain't a muad. Because why? Because we're saying like that's Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that'd be 3 separate days. On 1 day is not enough. Shom. So in other words, if you're going to keep the gerusa like we've just kept it, like Rav Fulda said, then what's this shom? We know what shom is. Shom is the source of Rabbi Yehuda. It has to be 3 days in a row. So no, it's saying shom. In other words, this is asking according to Rabbi Meir. Okay, what is hidur shom? Ela she'im chazar bo shloshim ze'ach hazeh eino nidon ela katam. Meaning, just as he doesn't allow a break. When making an animal a muad, if it's over many days, this is the way Rafuld explains it. He would also require, if like, no break on the way back, which is interesting because he talks according to Remeir, it's about to not playing with it. So I'll just read the Rafuld inside. It says, Elakai ledivrei Rebbe Meir, this is the middle of Dvoro Matchil Datani. It says, that part of Mitzvah Lishon, de sarbi de he can become muad in 1 day. Lechen makshe. That's why I asked, just like we asked in the beginning. Mal tamal lomim mitol shishom or posek or posek bereish halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. Or beseif halachik Rabbi Meir. So this is again. That's why it's saying detan. It seems to follow both. Dila Rabbi Yehuda kamosha nasa muad beserugin. Just like Rabbi Yehuda, just as he says, it can become muad beserugin, meaning even with, it sounds like day breaks, because again, it wasn't Rabbi Meir that says you can't have a day break. Now say nami tam beserugin. It can also be a tam beserugin. But aval Rabbi Meir. If there's a day break in between, no good. Okay, then it wouldn't be a tam if you like beserugin either. That's why you need 3 days in a row. Again, the only kasha with this, I'm not understanding my folder, is because according to Rebbe, it's about not playing with it and playing with it and not doing anything. I actually just saw this after the shiur, so I'm inserting it now. Is there's an opinion on the stands that according to Rebbe Meir that he agrees with Rebbe Yehuda that even 3 days in a row, if he didn't cause any offense, that he would actually become, if you like, a tam. However, he just simply adds that also a tinok does meshameshbo that would actually make it back to a tam. So if that's the case, then it makes a lot of sense now that if he agrees it's 3 days in a row, it must be the way the Marafolda is explaining it, that as long as it's in succession, that's what will make it a tam. And when he says halachas like Rabbi Meir, halachas like Meir in the sense that you can use a tinok all 3 days and particularly 3 days in a row. Okay, but again, a lot of Mefarshim change the gears here. Some people flip it around, and according to Pnei Moshe, it's the whole discussions regarding Rabbi Yehuda. But in any event, let's continue.
I'm sorry, just want to ask for a second. The day that it wouldn't be a muad if it gored 3 times in 1 day.
Yes, that's Rabbi Yehuda.
So that would mean that it could never become a muad in 1 day, like it gored
It
20
couldn't.
times.
It couldn't be more than 1 day. That's the point.
And the Baal Hashor is not chayav from.
Oh, it's Chayiv Keren. It's Chayiv Chetzi Nezek.
But only Chetzi Nezek, even though he's with the animal for the whole day.
Yes. Sounds like a contributor. Yeah. Contributor, that's exactly the case. Because it hasn't been established as a crazy animal. It might be having a bad day, but it's not described as a crazy. It hasn't been established as a crazy animal, it sounds like. Yeah. Okay. But again, it might just be because of the psukim. Again, it could be the misvara or mishum gzerat hakatov. It says mitmol shilshom. It could just be based on gzerat hakatov. I'm not sure. Oh, well, it sounds like it's based on gzerat hakatov because of the pasuk. He says, where do you learn it from? Mitmol shilshom. Okay. Now the Gemara now says, Having in Sabri the Mema Halacha Karebi. Now, Gemara Folder says it's Karebi Yossi, do Amar Vishnehem. Now, why is it Rebbe Yossi? Where did Rebbe Yossi come up? So he explains in the Bavli that Rebbe Yossi is exactly like this, or Lachel's like Rebbe Batam and Rebbe Yehuda Bahada, because it's what's like a Machria, Shita that takes in between two different opposing opinions. Maybe the Halacha is like him. And the Gemara says, you know, after Rebbe Yirmiyah says, B'Shem Rav, indeed, yes, Halacha is Rebbe Meir, Batama, or Rebbe Yehuda Huada, Muad. Okay, fine, become a Muad. Okay, or Hada'ah. Yeah, fair. So that closes off that sugya. Fine. Let's continue. Now, this is a halacha zayin. Shorah mazik b'shut ha'nizak keitzad. So, a shorah mazik that ends up causing damage in the property of the nizak. So, keitzad, what's a din? So, nagach, nagaf, nashach, ravatz, pa'at. These are all different actions that would be considered keren, so chatzin nezik normally. If it's b'rishus ha'ravi in the public domain, meshalem chatzin nezik, you pay the chatzin nezik, yeah, fair. That's what we know by keren. What if it's a shut ha'nizak in the property of the, went into somebody else's property and started goring his ox? Rabbi Tarfon says in that situation, now we've seen Shad Rabbi Tarfon before mentioned, but now we see in the Mishnah, he pays Nezek Shalem. The Chachamim say, Chatzin Nezek. Well, Chachamim are consistent. Kerem is Chatzin Nezek everywhere. It's Rabbi Tarfon that comes along and says, no. If it's in Shad Nizak, yet by Nezek Shalem, even if it is a crazy incident. So Gemara says, Amalem Rabbi Tarfon, Ma'imba. Now he draws a kavel chomer. We have to step through this slowly because it's important because the Gemara Chachamim are going to argue against this. So he says, listen, look at the makom. The makom, the location, shikela lashen, meaning in Rosh, we're makel by Shen and Regel, correct? Rosh. Why? Because in Shen and Regel, we say in Rosh, you are patur. Hechmir in that location, meaning in Rosh, you're machmir on, say, so now, if you go to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, by Shen V'Regel, you pay Lezek Shalem. So let's go through it again. Sorry, I just got caught in one point. So, Ma'im B'Makom, you make Shen V'Regel, say, it's Pator. Rosh Hashanah, it's Pator. Hichmir Alav, now Rosh Hashanah Nezek, pay Lezek Shalem. Okay. Makom Shichmir Al Keren. In Rosh Hashanah, what's the din? You chayid Chetzin Nezek. So therefore, we've said that Rosh Hashanah Rabim seems to be more machmir than Rosh. So Rosh Hashanah Yachid is more machmir Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So Rosh Rashi, in other words, so there, when Keren in Rosh Hashanah Rabim more machmir to say Rosh Hashanah Rabim you pay nezek chatzin nezek, ain odin kavachomer shenachmir aleihem Rosh Hashanah Nizak. So kavachomer Rosh Hashanah Nizak l'shalem nezek shalem. Let's go through this again. Look at the difference of location, Rabim to Yachid. Shen Regel, your patron Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Rosh Hashanah Yachid Rosh Hashanah Nizak, your machmir machmir. You go from Patur to Chayev. So when it comes to Keren, he's saying, Keren Rosh Hashanah Rabim, if you're already Chayev Chatzin Nezek, look at the Rishut. If you go to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Kav HaChomer, it's going to be more Machmir, so therefore it should be Nezek Shalem. That's his rationale. Okay, I hope that was clearer than the first attempt. Zamrullah said to him, no, Daya, Lavo, Minadin, Liot, Kenidon. They said, you cannot do that. When you draw a Kav HaChomer for something, you can't be more machmir than the thing you're drawing Kav HaChomer from. So just to explain, meaning if you're drawing a Kav HaChomer of Ken Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, meaning you're learning it from Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So when I can't learn and draw something to be the din I'm learning for there, it's Chatzin Nezek. I can't now learn from it and make it more machmir than the thing I learned it from. Okay, if it's Chatzin Nezek Zer, I'm deriving it from Chatzin Nezek, I can't say, oh, therefore Nezek Shalem. It doesn't work like that. That's a principle of Dayot. Meaning, in the Kav HaChomer, when you're building a Kav HaChomer, yes, you can extrapolate particular laws based on a Kav HaChomer, but that which you're learning to can't be more, can't, you can't learn out more than what you're learning it from. And you're learning it from Chatzin Nezek, Rosh Hashanah Rabim, so therefore, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, I can't learn any more than Rosh Hashanah Chatzin Nezek. Now, the Gemara now says, Amar Lahem, Ani lo adin keren me keren. I'm not learning keren from keren, meaning like you thought keren rishus ha yachid from keren rishus harabim. No, ani adun keren me regel, meaning I'm learning from shen and regel. I'm in rishus yachid. The whole limud is rishus yachid, just like and I'm learning from shen. What's shen in rishus yachid? Nezek shalem. So if I'm drawing Kav HaChomer from Shen or Regel, I can learn the full amount now. You don't apply the din of dayah anymore. Okay, because there it's nezek shalem, so I can learn the full nezek. Gemara says, Omay makom shehekel ala shen vala regel b'rshus harabim michmir ala bekeren. Makom shechmir ala b'rshus hanizak enu din shechmir ala bekeren. Similar type of kavachomer. So I'll explain again. Omay makom shehekel, or may kill shen and regel. In rishus harabim, because it's patur, you machmir in hechmir bekeren, you machmir by there, by paying chatzinezek. Makom shechmir aleihem. Here now in Rosh Hashanah Nizak by Shen to pay, if you like, full damages. I'm learning from Shen to Karen. I can learn the full damage. Gemara says, nonetheless, no. Amrulo dayo lavo mina din liyot kenidon. Nonetheless, you're still going to run into the problem of dayo. Why? Because your whole kavachomer hinges on the fact that what? Karen is more machmir than Shen in Rosh Hashanah Rabim and it's chatzinezek. So yes, you're trying to, you've turned it and switched it in a particular way, but it's still hinging on that point. So therefore I can't, the dayo would still stick and I can't learn more than chatzi nezek. That's what the Chachamim is saying. Okay. It says, Amru lo davar min ha'idon, ma b'rishut ha'rabim chatzi nezek, af b'rishut ha'nizek chatzi nezek. Now what's interesting here, just to fill in a little bit of the gaps, I think it's Bavli explains this, that really, Rabbi Tarfon agrees with the concept of dayo. What's the point of debate? The point of debate is, if saying dayo dismantles the entire kol vachomer that I can't use it at all, then we no longer say dayo. That's the point of Rabbi Tarfon. Chachamim say no, dayo is dayo, and all is always in place. This situation, according to Rabbi Tarfon, if I said dayo, there'd be no kol vachomer to play at all. Why? Because I already know that you pay chatzi nezek for keren. Wherever it is. So if I say dayol, then I've gone back to square one and the kal vachomer is not even in place. There's nothing to work with. So in a place where I'd compromise the full, in other words, to limit a kal vachomer's effect, meaning I didn't know anything and I brought up to chatzi nezek or the various examples brought in the Bavli regarding this, then it's fine. Okay. But if I already know a base amount and my dayol brings me back to that what I knew from the beginning, then we don't say dayol kontra vitar. From the chachamim say, no, dayol is dayol. You can never, it's a blanket rule. You can never learn more, so expand it, like learn more than what you're learning from. Fine, that seems to be the debate there. Now, the Gemara says, Shurah mazik b'shut ha'nizak, adsof, meaning the whole Mishnah. So, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, that's the Rebbe Tarfon here, b'shut ha'nizak, that case, b'shut ha'nizak, it says, Rebbe Tarfon omer, nezek shalem v'chamim al chatzi nezek. Now, all the Mefarshim here say, this is not related to this mission, this is related to the previous mission we talked about before, that one of the mu'ads is that if someone does nezek in Rishut HaNizak. If you remember that mission previously, it's that Rebbe Tarfon, because Rebbe Tarfon holds, oh, that's a case of nezek shalem. Okay? And that fits in the Mishnah. We've mentioned Rebbe Tarfon, so we bring it back here. That's, by the way, the first time we introduced the Shir Rebbe Tarfon, and we learned that Mishnah. Next. Rana says, Adam mu'ad le'olam. Okay? Meaning, he's always chayev full damages. Le'olam, and he has to pay. Bein b'shogig, bein memezid, bein er, bein yashan. Whether he is does it by mistake, does it deliberately, whether he's awake, or whether he is asleep. Okay. Whether it's a physical damage, whether it is monetary damage, he has to pay full damages. Okay, Nemara says, Adam wad le'olam. When do we say someone's chai when they're asleep? That is when they both went to sleep at the same time. The two people, one next to the other. Let's say one of them was asleep, and his friend comes, and his friend comes to lie down next to him and falls asleep. We say in that situation, it says, probably should be Einu Muad. Okay, it says Muad here, but it's Lo Hu Hamuad, exactly. Hu Hamuad meaning the friend's is a Muad. Sorry, my mistake. So the Pnei Moshe says, Hu Hamuad meaning he's a Poshea, according to Pnei Moshe, meaning Vimezek Huet Erishon Chayav. The second person lay down, he'd be Chayav. Aval Rishon that was falling asleep there and went to lie down to bed and there was no one around and he thought it was Saifi who was went to sleep. If he caused damage to sleep to his friend lay down next to him, then he's patur. You could say that's like, even though we thought before we said that a person is chayv in the case of honest, this is like honest gamur. Okay? Because a person went to sleep, he did all, you know, he lay down in a particular location where he thought it was safe, no one was around him. So, and someone else lies down next to him, why should he be chayv for the damage he caused in his sleep when he, say, knocks him or something like that? Okay? Said it. Now, the Gemara says, If someone leaves a jug in Rosh Hashanah, and somebody else, if you like, knocks into it and breaks it, we say patur. I have to explain that in a minute. If the even muzakba, if the person who knocked into it injured himself, then balachavit chayav ben nizakav. Then the owner of the barrel will be chayav the damage he caused by putting that dangerous obstacle in the path. Okay, so two elements here to be careful to distinguish. One is the fact that the person who's walking there broke the other person's jug, it's patur. Another one is if he gets injured by the jug, he could get compensation. Yafe. Okay, now the Gemara says, isn't the way to people to leave things Rosh Hashanah? Now, what's the argument here? So what it's saying here is that a person, I'll just show you the Pnei Moshe, he says, Amai patur zeh kesheshavram. The person who's walking Rosh Hashanah and walks into things and smashes a kelim, why should it be patur? People do put things in Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, if someone leaves something by their front door, you can't just walk up to it and kick and smash it over. Even if you knock into it and break it, you're a human being, you're not an animal, you should look where you're walking. So why should I be patur? So the Gemara now says, well, the case is, v'mamale et kol Rosh Hashanah. That's a situation where the person put all this stuff out and filled up the entire Rosh Hashanah, filled up the entire street. Aval im einu mamalet Rosh Hashanah, then derech adam. You're right. We say derech adam liod menichim Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to human being, yes, you can look where you're walking. However, if the entire road has been taken up and there was no way for him to get through, then it's a different situation. Then that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Is patur. Just say one more thing, and the Shmuel says, or it could be malet kol Rosh Hashanah, or maybe ad shetiye notuna al keren hazavit. Where it was placed on a corner, the person walked around and it wasn't possible for him to see it, and that's when he knocked into it and smashed it. He doesn't have to fill up the whole street. But in a situation where it's not reasonable to say the person should be aware of very little if you think this happening necessarily, and that's to translate patur on the card that he broke, and obviously we get compensation if he said, like a boar if he got hurt. We'll get to that, Mitzvah Shem, next year. All right, Kol Tov. Have a good one.